This morning's reading is from the 63rd chapter of Isaiah, beginning with the 7th verse. I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness of the house of Israel, which he has granted them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, sons who will not deal falsely. And he became their Savior. In all their afflictions he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel, let's stand. This is telling the story we were just sharing with the kids. After they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, out of Egypt I have called my son. When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated and sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take your child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are seeking the child's life are dead. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. When he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I still think we should delay Christmas till about February. I haven't gotten my fill of Christmas carols quite yet. There's still a few that are yet to have been sung. I've heard a few of my favorites. The Perry Como, There's No Place Like Home for the Holidays. Remember that one? What a delightful song. And that's a song that I heard all my life. He came out before I was more than just a pup. And what an interesting song, and what an interesting way that it's changed what it means. I mean, home. Home. Melissa and I are an itinerant pastor's family. If the bishop calls up and says, this is the bishop, my heart usually sinks. Because the bishop can bish. And the bishop says, your new home is now, and names a place, and I immediately have to run and Google where that place is. When I was sent to Ordway, I had no idea there was a town named Ordway. And I thought it was south of Pueblo and east or west into the mountains. I was very excited. So ending up out on the plains near La Junta was different. But it was a beautiful time in a beautiful place. Some of you are military families. Some of you have traveled as military families. And the same is true. You go and then your orders come and you go somewhere else and you're moved. And so where is home? The home of our childhood? Do you have a specific image in mind of which was the home that was the childhood home that you grew up in? I don't have a specific one. And then there are the homes not only that we came from, but the homes that we begin to make when we start our families and we have our kids. And, and, And then there are the homes that we have as we become empty nesters. And so times change what home means. This Lucan text is a fascinating one. Here are Mary and Joseph and Jesus, and they're on their way home to Bethlehem to be registered for the census. They're coming back. That's what the title or the cover of the bulletin is reflecting. And someone said it was obviously a man who wrote that she would be riding a donkey that far pregnant. But this is actually in the flight, isn't it? She has the baby born. So, but they have to return to his home to be registered for the census. And as they come to Bethlehem, they find that the town is full. Everyone is back. And there is no place. There is no posada. And that tradition of no posada, no place, no shelter, is one that is a religious heritage that isn't as strong in our particular denomination, but one that we need to pause and recognize. But the Matthian text, this one from Matthew, it's the only place where we hear this passage about the wise men that come and they ask Herod, "Where's the child who has been born king of the Jews?" Herod is an evil man. We need to acknowledge that. And knowing that there is another king born, he figures the best way to deal with him is get him when he's young. And so he's trying to find the child so that he can exterminate him. And so he asks them, "Find him, then report back to me." And the wise men, of course, don't do so. A king born, it would have unsettled him. And in response, there's a massacre of innocents. But the angels come and they warn Joseph. As we said in the children's moment, it's a quite a dramatic moment. We don't acknowledge it much, but you have to get up and flee here. You have to leave everything and go to this foreign land, this Egypt, and pray that they'll let you immigrate in, and that they'll take you in and that they will shelter you, that they will allow you to live in their land. And they do. And that part of our heritage needs to be reflected. The Jewish tradition has many occasions where they have been driven from their home. The Assyrians drive them out of their home in about 733 BCE. And then again, they are in diaspora taken to Babylon, and the Babylonian exile, 593. So there are times when they've been driven from their home, and it isn't until the reestablishment of the nation Israel after the Second World War, that there's home again. And so that sense of home. Do you have, by chance, that painting of the picture, Sue, of this one? Don't you love that? I love that painting. Sleeping in the paws of the Sphinx. Doesn't she look just perfectly comfortable? And the baby at ease. And I look at that and I just smile and I think of the comforting in the arms of the Sphinx. But part of me is thinking not Sphinx, but these are God's arms. These are God's arms comforting mother and child. God's arms that comfort us. Now, if you want to go down a wild rabbit hole sometime, try and figure out how long they were in Egypt. How long it was between Jesus' birth and Herod's death. There are competing scholars who say that the date of his birth and of Jesus' birth and Herod's death, they're all in conflict. So we don't know definitively. It's quite a confusing piece. We don't know if it was just a year or a couple years or a handful of years or a significant amount of time, and it may not matter to us. But it is time to pause and recognize the hospitality of the Egyptians caring for them. And it fulfilled again that prophecy out of Hosea. Out of Egypt I called my son. We heard that in the text, and it's in Hosea 11:1. So Jesus spends a piece of his time in Egypt, and then he grows up in Nazareth. And then we come to another Lucan story. This is Luke's story of Jesus when he's age 12. You know the story. We usually read it. And I read Matthew instead today. But in Luke's story, you recall that they're this good, faithful Jewish family, Jesus, Joseph, and Mary. They're going to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. Good Jews, faithful Jews. And then they were going to make that pilgrimage. So they gather with a group of their people, a caravan, if you will. A group is safer to travel in. And so they travel, and they travel to Jerusalem. And in that group, there are families, and there are friends and associations. And Jesus was with all the kids. You know how kids kind of run around together in a kind of a knot of kids. I guess it's a knot of toads. What do you call a group of kids? Maybe a giggle of kids? I don't know. But here are the kids, and they're all together, and they're traveling, and they get to Passover, and the Passover continues. And it's normal that they are all kind of scattered and what have you. And they leave to head home, and their day's journey home before they realize Jesus is not with them. He should have been hanging out with the kids, with the giggle of kids. And somehow Mary and Joseph find out he's missing. And so they rush back to try and find him. And they search for him, and it takes a while. And they find him in the temple. He's sitting in the temple teaching, age 12. And he says to them, he says, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" You remember that scripture, don't you? It's an interesting piece. By the way, you should know that there are a bunch of stories that were written. If your imagination, you let your imagination run you, you might imagine Jesus as a supernatural, godly young lad doing miraculous things. Stories were written in that vein. They are not true stories. They're made up stories, but fun. In one place, little Jesus is defending Mary and Joseph from dragons that are attacking. And he's doing these miraculous, wonderful things. It's good, fun, entertaining sorts of things. But this is the only story we have of Jesus as a child, 12 years old, teaching in the temple. Home. Home. How many of you heard the song on the radio or whatever? "I'll be home for Christmas. If only in my dreams." Bing Crosby sang that in 1943 is when it became popular. That's when it hit the charts, if you will. I would tell you the lyricist and the writer of the music, but I didn't write them down, and you would forget them as soon as I told you. So we'll let that go for now. But this was 1943. World War II was underway. People, men and women, serving their country or were away from home. "I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams." What a contemplative and beautiful song, and yet kind of a mournful one. Because where is home? Where is home? Which, if you were to tell me right now where you were going to go home for Christmas, which home would you select? My parents passed in 2013 within 2 weeks of each other. And that would have been the home that I would have named. They were there for 30-some years, and I would call that the home, and it isn't now. So where is home? More importantly, perhaps, is what is home? Home with mom and dad? And yet I can recall as having family and us kids, and there were a couple of Christmases when it was just us gathered, and then we got older, and all of a sudden there was marriages, and so then you have his family and her family, and so which family is the, and you're kind of dividing yourselves amongst, and then grandparents, and it becomes this extended and confused and convoluted sort of thing, and through the relentless march of time, then we begin to lose family. When my mom and dad passed to their heavenly reward, family changed, and who is family? Where is home? It can be unsettling, but it often isn't, oddly. You know, on Christmas Eve, if you were here on Christmas Eve, I asked the ushers to pass the pew pads. We don't usually do that, and I kind of put that on them. None of them gave me any guff about it, but I certainly owe them a debt of thanks for doing that. And part of the reason was very, very selfish on my part. I love to read about all the family that's gathered with family. And it was fun. Here I would read someone who's a member of our congregation, and I would read a list of names and the churches that they were from and the places they were from. North Dakota, California, Washington, you know, these people from far and wide. And I realized that they were gathering in a home that was home for Christmas. And yet they had homes in North Dakota, South Dakota, California, Washington, Pennsylvania. Where is home? You probably know where I'm going. There is one home that is constant, and gathering here on Christmas Eve, it was home. You are the sixth congregation I have the blessing to serve, and I love you more than all of the others. Well, I mean that. And I have had the pleasure of serving lots of wonderful people. Some sheep and some goats in every congregation, but you know, that's the way life goes. But what a joy it is to be gathered with. And each Christmas Eve is kind of that core of recognizing families as families and gathering in those gatherings and gathering with the Tongans and with the Palangi and with family. It was, and then being able to read some of the names of some of the families and meeting many of them. Home. Home is in God's house. Isaiah passage that Ridge read this morning, according to the abundance of God's steadfast love, surely they are my people, God says. He lifted them up and carried them. Surely God has made this place and has made home for us, and we are in God's house. It isn't this particular building or any particular church or building or place. It is with those that we love and with God in the midst of us. Jesus was home at age 12, sitting in the temple. His mother and father were quite startled. They didn't realize that he recognized his father's house, his father's home. And that place, certainly he had place with mom and dad too. And certainly later he would have place with the disciples. But home, what is home? So today is a day to acknowledge the grace of God that provides us with home and homes, beloveds, and memories of those that we've passed that have are at rest with the saints and celebrate with us. But God's grace has given all of that to us. And the God's grace that is steadfast through the unsettling waters of time and place and situation. And God's home, wherever, whenever, however we are. Celebration that God welcomes us home. Welcome home for Christmas. Amen.